Hi everyone, this is Brad Bristow and I'm the lead campus pastor here at Cornerstone Church in Airdrie, and I want to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly in the pages of Scripture continues to speak to His kids today. So as you listen, I pray that you would be inspired, encouraged, challenged, and your faith would be built. Enjoy the message. As family we go.
So, tonight we are going to share with you some of what our life looks like in Thailand, the place that we live, what we do, and kind of our vision for this place. But before we get started, we figured we'd keep it light and start with a little trivia challenge. The prize for which is either one of two things. You will either be rewarded with an all-expenses vacation to Thailand, or you will be elected as the next missionary to go to Thailand. So I'm not going to tell you which one it is, but just know that ahead of time before you answer correctly. So this is an actual test question on our driver's license exam. I kid you not. Which of these vehicles may not be driven on a public road? Now, I think it would probably be best if we vote by a show of hands. So that way we can keep all of each other honest about who is actually winning this thing. So, vehicle without a front windshield, a tractor with rubber tires, a vehicle with a horn which can be heard from a distance of 60 meters, or a tank used in warfare. Which of these vehicles may not be driven on a public road? A, anyone for A? Anyone for B? Couple for B. Anyone for C? Couple for C, and a couple, any for D? You would think so, wouldn't you? You would think it would be the tank, but oh no, it is, the answer is you may not drive a vehicle without a windshield. A tank fully armed for battle, no problem, that's totally fine. All right, Thailand is home to A, the world's shortest man, longest city name, the tallest tree, the oldest living woman. All those for A, the shortest man. One, B, longest city name. Bunch of hands. C, the world's tallest tree. And the oldest woman. Couple for oldest women. Okay. It is home to the longest name, which is actually 64 syllables in Thai, which we won't say for you here. But translated, it means the city of angels, great city of immortals, magnificent city of the nine gems, seat of the kings, city of the royal palaces, home of the gods incarnate, erected by Visit Carmen at Indra's behest. Casual. I don't think I haven't memorized. They have a song that helps them memorize it, and it's like this 2-minute ordeal to say the whole thing. Okay, Thai language has A, 44 consonants, 28 combinations of vowel sounds, 6 tones, no alphabet, but symbols like Chinese, or conjugated verbs. A, 44 consonants, 1. B, 6 tones, few hands. C, no alphabet, but characters like Chinese, a couple more. And D, conjugated verbs, like French. We have a popular vote right there. Consonants and 28 vowel sounds. There are tones in Thai, but there's only 5 of them. And they may look like symbols, but they're actually an alphabet. It's not pictorial like Chinese. All right. How long did it take to get our driver's license? All those in favor of A, B, C? The answer is D. The answer is D. It took us 3 days. And it was not a fun 3 days. We had to sit in an office and watch their driver's training manual, which was in Thai, and we didn't speak Thai at this point. But they made us watch it. Oh, they made us watch it. It was 4 hours. All right, animals we have not found in our house. All those in favor of snakes, rats, lizards, birds? All you bird people are correct. Snakes, rats, and lizards are a dime a dozen, let me tell you what. The other day, we had a guy living in our house with us, and as he opened the bathroom door, a snake fell off the top of the door. Much panic ensued. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it would have scarred Chanel for all time if it had been her. Bangkok is biggest population, biggest city in the world by landmass, hottest city in the world by average temperature, and hottest city in the world by peak temperature. All those in favor of A? Okay, B, C, and D. It is hottest city in the world by average temperature, which, when we read that, made us feel awesome about ourselves. It's not the hottest city ever. It doesn't get peak temperatures, but it is the hottest all year round. All right, last question. The amount of motorcycles in Thailand. All those in favor of A, B, C? Okay, everyone's for D. Yeah, that's actually, I'll accept that answer. It's actually 20 million, but it feels like an infinite amount of motorcycles. Yeah, imagine 20 million motorcycles in a country the size less than Alberta. Yeah, D is correct. So anyone 7 for 7 out of that one? No? 6? 5? Okay, that's fine. I guess no one will be elected to be the next missionaries of Thailand, said. Yeah, or will you all be? That's correct. There's only winners here. And as we're sharing these kind of anecdotal facts about Thailand, the picture that we want to paint is that we live in an unusual place. There's a lot of things that are different about Thailand, which is why that we have the slide of, we're not in Kansas anymore. It is very apparent when you are in Thailand, if you've ever been there, you immediately know, this is a different world. Everything about it is different. Our culture is different, the weather is different, the language is different, our animals are even different. It just feels like there's nothing that is quite the same. And it's a different world. To kind of point this out, one of the things that is different is Buddhism. Thailand is 96% Buddhist, and that is something that is pervasive in the culture. It invades every aspect of life in Thailand. So even the clothes that you wear. This right here is a chart of what clothes and what color of clothes you must wear on any given day. For example, on Monday, if you want to wear a powerful color, you must wear green. If you want to wear a monetarily lucky color, you would wear purple. You wouldn't wear red on Mondays. That would be very unwise of you because that's unlucky. And on Tuesday, it's a whole set of different numbers and or a whole set of different colors. Even the clothes that you choose are dictated by Buddhism because every part of Thai culture and Thai worldview is, essentially invaded by Buddhist worldview. Another example of this is even down to the color of your car. So if you want to be lucky and you don't want to get in an accident, you have to go to your local temple, and the temple will tell you what color your car needs to be in order to be lucky and to not get in an accident. So what happens if you go to the monk and you say, all right, what's my lucky car color? And they say black, but you own a silver car? No problem, we've got stickers for that. Boom, this car is now black. Boom, this car is now yellow. Boom, this car is now green. So apparently, the accident-causing spirits are colorblind, but they can read quite well, and so they get confused by things like this. And it really is every aspect of society. Family life, work, culture, when you go to school. When I was, the first 2 years that we were in Thailand, we studied Thai almost exclusively. And the second year of that, I actually attended a Thai university. And during that time, I had an exam, and one of the questions on the exam was this. Now, keep in mind, this is the equivalent of, like, imagine you go to the UFC and you take an English lit course. So the question is this. If it's winter time and there's a storm coming in, what is the best way to survive? Is it A, like try to outrun it, B, you hide in a cave, C, you put on a fur coat, or D, exercise until you sweat? So I'm reading this in Thai, mind you, and I'm like slowly going through and I'm like, okay, I think I understand the question. I think, yeah, okay, I got everything. I'm going through the list and I'm like, outrun it. That doesn't seem, no, that can't be right. Like, no. Hide in a cave, that's kind of random, but I guess maybe. Then I got to fur coat and I thought, we have a winner. This is obvious. And then D, I thought, exercise till you sweat. Well, that would kind of work until you freeze to death afterwards. Like, you can only exercise for so long. So I confidently circled C and went on with my test. When I got the test back, no, I am incorrect. And I just thought, what is the answer? So, and they have the rationale explained for each one of the answers, or the teacher explained it, rather. And so she said, no, there's no way that you could outrun the storm. You can't go in a cave because everybody knows that caves are dangerous. I'm like, C, you can't wear a fur coat because that would be trespassing against Buddhist law, which is you can't kill animals. D, the only option left is that you must exercise until you sweat. Like, so the question was not, according to Buddhist worldview, what is the best way to stay warm? If it had asked that, I might have had a chance. But this is just to show that every part of Thai culture and Thai, even in the universities, it is expected that you will answer, that you will live within the confines of Buddhist worldview. And it really does affect every aspect of life. So I that was something that was just shocking to me. Buddhist worldview. So, as we mentioned before, it's 95% Buddhist. And the one thing that we've found about Buddhism is that it does not offer hope. I won't talk through this whole thing, but the essential worldview of Buddhist is that you can either do good things, which we call merit, or you can do bad things, which is karma. And if you can do more good things than you do bad things, and you have more merit than you have karma, then when you die, you will be reborn to an elevated state. You will have come back as something better. And if you do this over and over again, you can get upgraded to the next level of earth, a better earth. There's 7 levels of earth, and then 7 levels of heaven on top of that. And eventually, if you climb the ladder being born, and you're good, and you're good, and you're good, and you're good, you can get to the highest level of heaven. And only then, if you live a perfect life, if you never do anything wrong, if you never have any karma, but you only have merit, then you can achieve nirvana. And nirvana is a state of emptiness, a place without suffering. And because Buddhists believe that life and all emotion is suffering, to live is to suffer. And so they are trying to escape this world. They're trying to escape existence. Unfortunately, even talking to devout monks, they will tell you, we don't have a hope. We don't have a hope of doing this. We've asked monks, so do you think this is the one, you know, this is the life? You think this is the time that you'll get to go to nirvana? And without even stopping to think, everyone has said, no, absolutely not. Like, never. Like, I could never do that. Like, because they know. We know that we've done wrong. We know that we have hurt and broken, and that we have destroyed life. And unfortunately, this leads to a worldview without hope, because there is no way. And it's so sad, because a worldview without hope produces some of the things that we have listed here. Highest infidelity rate in the world. Most unfaithful marriages in the world. There's alcoholism, prostitution, rampant child abuse. There's the family unit in Thailand. I have never been in a place that there is more abuse. We talked to a lady recently, and her perspective was, we were asking about how common child abuse was. And she said, in the villages, every child was her answer. Which, even if that is an exaggeration, that's a horrifying one. It's horrifying that would even be the exaggeration that you go to. It is that commonplace. And we know many, the Thais that we know, they share their stories. It is so common. Poverty, suicide, addiction. It is a country that has no hope. And that is why we are here, why we are there. We want to tell a hopeless people about the hope of the nations. And that is the reason that we moved to Thailand.
So some of that information gives you a bit of a backdrop and setting to the culture and the place that we live. And now I want to tell you a little bit about what we actually do there. So our ministry is actually twofold. The majority of our ministry and the thing that takes up most of our time on a day-to-day basis is aimed at our neighborhood and where we live directly. So we'll tell you a little bit about that. But the second part of our ministry that we get to be part of a few times a week is with an organization called Don Nam, which in Thai means source of water. So as probably several of you know, there's a extremely prevalent red light industry in Thailand and in much of Southeast Asia. And so I'm not going to go into too many details about that. I know there's young kids here, but just briefly tell you a little bit about the way that we are going to, the way that we affect this sphere of society. And we've really seen over the last few years how much the culture of that industry really doesn't stay hidden and at night and in these certain areas, but how it really affects families and really, really affects the core of society. So we've always wanted to stay kind of in touch with that social issue. So the way that we do that right now is with this foundation called Don Nam. And they're basically, their goal is to help transgender and young male sex workers get out of the industry. And then we have a program that helps them with therapy, counseling, education, finishing their high school education or university education, and then giving them vocational training so that we can place them with other jobs around the city. Yeah, it's a really neat program. We've loved partnering with them. If we go, sorry, can you do that? So there's a few statistics there on transgender and ladyboy. So the term ladyboy basically means it's referring to a man that has transitioned physically or hormonally to become a woman. So it's another term for transgender, which is a growing thing in the industry in Thailand, in the red light industry. So the way that I'm partnering with that, the program, is in two ways. The first is that I do outreach with them, and I'm also part of teaching some of their life skill and group therapy classes. So how outreach looks there is that a group of women, we basically rotate and go out in groups at night to the different red light industries, and we've built a lot of relationships with the owners of different establishments so that we're able to go in, build relationships with people so that eventually at some point, if people are really interested after getting to know us and building friendship and building trust, we can offer them and say, hey, we have this program. If you don't want to do this anymore, you can come out of this, and the foundation raises money to basically pay them a salary so that they feel like they can still earn money and come out and join this program. And many of them are not trafficked but are actually sent there by family members. So I think that's something that could be a misconception about this industry. When we think about it, we might think of the word trafficked or someone who is held there against their will, which there is that portion of the industry as well, but a large majority of people that we've come into contact with are actually Thais that have been sent there by their families. So their parents have sent them there when they were underage, probably to start to either be sending money home or pay off a debt. So that's quite common. So the reason that we offer them a salary when they come join the program is so that they can still be sending money home to their families, and then they're free to study and, yeah, get the counseling that they need. So then I also teach a life class with them, which is basically we cover different topics from gender identity to dysfunctional families, and it kind of focuses on emotional and inner healing. So that is a bit of what we do there. We also work with another at-risk group of people, which is homeless people in the area. And so I think now we're going to show a quick video, actually, of a friend of ours who is currently living on the streets of Bangkok, but has become a believer in recent years and joined a home church that's also in this area. Yeah, this is it.
พ่อฟังแล้ว ่านกล่าวมีทั้งเหตุและผลตามมาถึงจะเชื่อเพราะเป็นความจริงซึ่งนำไปใช้ในชีวิตประจำวันได
้คือมีอะไรให้คนอื่นคนในโบสถ์อื่นนะครับอธิษฐานเผื่อมั้ยครับมีข้ออธิษฐานมั้ยครับ
มี
อะไรบ้าง
ช่วยอธิษฐานเผื่อผมให้มีที่อยู
่ครับ
ที่แน่นอนเป็นหลักเป็นแหล่ง
ครับ
ไม่ต้องเล่ร่อนแบบนี
้ครับ
เพราะถ้าเล่ร่อนแบบนี้ไม่สบายแน
่ครับ
เจ็บป่วย
ครับ
เหนื่อยท้อ
ครับ
หาไม่ช้าพระเจ้าคงนำทางให้ผมได้บ้านมีที่อยู่
นอกจากนั้นมีอะไรอีกไหมครับ
ไม่ครับผมได้ความรักจากพระเจ้าแล้วผมไม่ต้องการอะไรอีกแล้ว
ขอบคุณนะครับลุงมุก
ครับ50 บาท
Yeah, so he's become a good friend of ours, and there's, you know, we wanted to put a face to it, but there's many people like him that have had very difficult lives. Maybe they're on the street, maybe they're still in the sex industry, maybe they're not, they've gotten out of it, but they don't have money. So anyways, we thought it would be really cool actually to take just a minute now and actually pray for Mook. And there are pieces of paper and pens, and if you have a specific prayer or encouragement, you could write that on the back of that slip of paper, and we will pass those along to him. So if we could just take 30 seconds, a minute to just pray for him. And you can pray out loud where you're at all at the same time if you want. Amen. So if you guys have time to write those down, there's a basket on the back table that you'll be able to put those in at the end. But yeah, awesome. Thanks for praying for him. The second and biggest part of our ministry in Thailand is centered around our immediate neighborhood and where we live and our community. So basically, the area that we live is just outside of the city center of Bangkok, and it is this area is actually technically an island. So that is the river, and it actually comes all the way around and closes to encloses that piece of land right there to make it an island called Bangkajao. And Steve and I, so we've been in Thailand for 4 years. The first couple of years we studied language. It was always our desire to move into a rural community that didn't have any churches, and to share the gospel with people and live life with people in that community and really plant ourselves somewhere. So when we went on that journey of praying and exploring and figuring out where should we settle down, where should we go, we were both really shocked and a little bit disappointed when we felt like the Lord was really leading us to move to Bangkok. And we thought, this is so strange. We've been visiting and training for rural ministry, and this is a giant city of 16 million people. And I'm not much of a city person at all. I don't really enjoy it. I think the first time I visited Bangkok, I said to Steve, oh, I would never live here. Like, I would just, this city is huge and dirty, and I did not love it. So about just over a year ago, we felt the Lord leading us that way. And so we said, okay, God, we'll move there. So we moved there, not knowing exactly what we were going to do, but in YWAM, we had some leaders who were also church planters in Bangkok, so we thought, okay, we'll come under them while we're figuring this out. And we just started picking a couple of different areas in the city that didn't have any churches and exploring, going and praying and seeing if we could find a place to build a home and kind of plant ourselves. And that is when we discovered this island. We basically saw it on a map and we thought, man, that's looks like this huge kind of spot of green right in the middle of the city. That looks really interesting. Let's go there. this weekend and explore. And so we went out and we're riding our bikes and we just immediately loved it. We met a ton of people. We eventually found out that this piece of land is 40,000 people, and there was one Thai believer that we met. And she had been praying for someone to come for several years, to come and start a church there. So we really felt led to move there. So about 6 to 8 months ago, we moved there. This is our house, so that's where we live on the left. That really bright patch of green might look like grass. It's actually water. And there's lily pads on top of that water, so we kind of have a moat going around our house. Yes, and I think we have a video we're going to show, so you can get a little picture of the path and the place that we live and what it looks like. This is Steve driving, so it might be crazy. So this is our driveway. There's no road, there's no access for cars. So those paths are about 4 or 5 feet off the ground, so there's a lot of marsh and water. So most neighborhoods on the island are only accessible by paths like this. You can only bicycle or motorbike or walk. At the end of that path is a ministry house where there's a kids ministry there on the weekends. So this is kind of typical Thai houses that are on stilts because of the rainy season flooding. Yeah, Steve's parents hate these videos. They make them very nervous. So when you do see someone on the path, you have to kind of lean over so that you can get by them. But it's great because it's made us have to talk to and meet all of our neighbors all the time, which we love. So I think there's another video there too. Oh, so this is that green, not grass, I was telling you about. So that's like water. They dig these kind of trenches, and it's for irrigation because they have a lot of gardens and plants there. So they kind of dig them, fill them with water. That's a monitor lizard. So these are also what live in those trenches that go right around our house, is these giant lizards. Yeah. No, I do not. I avoid them. No, I feel happy that they seem to be very skittish and afraid of people, so that makes me happy. All right. Yeah, so this is basically the setting and the place that we have planted ourselves and chosen to call home. So our main goal in moving there was to see the Thai church planted there and flourishing on this island. And the way that we wanted to kind of start that mission and doing that was by coming in and doing a lot of exploration, really getting to know our neighbors and the community first, and exploring and meeting people and asking a lot of questions and seeing what are the actual needs of this community, what's on people's hearts, what do people care about that we can be involved in. And one of the things that we did when we first moved was we decided, okay, a way that we can introduce ourselves to our neighbors and our community is by having a Thai housewarming party. So in Thai they call it a piti ban mai. And so it's like a new house blessing ceremony. And usually for Buddhists, what they do is they invite the monk to their house when they either build a new house or move to a new house. And there's all sorts of different ceremonies that the monk will help do to make sure that the evil spirits are cast out of the house and that they can bless it. And usually invite their friends and family and neighbors. There's a lot of food. And so we thought, great, we're going to take this and, you know, do like a Christian version of this and invite all of our neighbors, because if we say we're having a Pitipan Mai, they'll know exactly what we mean. So we moved into the house. We invited all of our neighbors. Instead of having the monk, we invited a Thai pastor that we knew from town and said, hey, can you come and kind of lead us in this blessing and help, you know, share the gospel with our neighbors? And it was a really cool experience. But to be honest, I was feeling very kind of unprepared that day. I love when you have an idea to do something and you think, I'm going to do this for the Lord. And then you end up feeling like so unprepared or so weak, and God is able to show you it's really, really, really him who does anything. You know what I mean? Like if there was anything that we thought we were doing it in our own strength, the Lord really showed us that day in our weakness the way that we actually needed our neighbors and the way that it was going to be him who was going to do anything in this community and not us. Because I had gotten into a motorbike accident, I think the week before the house ceremony, and so I couldn't walk. I was feeling really discouraged. We'd both been sick. And the neighbors we invited showed up early. They helped with food. It was really like this group effort to do this. And then throughout the day, we're looking over at this Thai pastor as he's mingling with our neighbors, and different ones of our neighbors are weeping. We're like looking and we're seeing, oh my goodness, they're crying as he's talking to them. He got to share the gospel with so many people. We got to go and share and have great conversations with people. So it turned out to be this amazing time. There was an older man there who rededicated his life to Christ. He had heard the gospel a long time ago and become a Christian, and then didn't follow for many years. So he rededicated his life that day. This was the group. We had about 12 neighbors come. And then on the picture on the left, that's our village leader who lives kind of right across the path from us, presenting us with a gift from the neighborhood. She had kind of did a spoken blessing for us at the party, and she said, we were a little scared of you because we'd never had any foreigners live in this village ever in its history. You guys are the first. But we see that you speak Thai and we love your hearts, and so we love that you're so welcoming to us and Thai culture, and so that was a really, really neat experience. And from that house blessing party, there was a small group of Thais that said, well, we want to know more about God. We want to start meeting together, and can we meet and do a small group? And so there was just an immediate confirmation from the Lord and a really cool thing to see that God goes before us, and he's the one who draws people even when we feel like we're not at our best and we're weak. So that's been the start. That was kind of the start of ministry there, and Steve will share more about the small group and stuff.
So on the right, this is one of our first small groups that we had, and as Chanel mentioned, we had a few people from our house blessing party that we did who really essentially said, can we start meeting together? Which we were amazed and surprised about. You know, we know other missionaries in this country who have been serving faithfully and are still waiting. And these are people who have more experience, who love the Lord, who are so faithful, and they're still waiting for people to say something like that. Like, hey, can we get together and like, can we learn more about God, and can we learn, you know, who Jesus is and study the Bible together and worship together? Like, that's stuff that is unheard of. And yeah, we are so blessed because from the moment that we came on this island, God was showing us that he was already working and he was already doing stuff. So this is our small group. And more amazing than just the fact that we had something right away was the fact that these people coming to the small group started inviting other people. And they started becoming believers, which is, again, insane because that just never happens. To give you a picture of how crazy that was, just before we left, we had heard that someone who was invited to this thing, they'd come, and then all of a sudden we had heard, yeah, they're a Christian now. And to give you a picture of how odd or rare that is, when we heard it, we didn't believe it. Someone said, oh yeah, they're a Christian, and my response was, I doubt it. What does that even mean? Or what does that, you know, you're saying you're a Christian. What does that mean to you? What do you actually believe? Is this just something that you said to make someone happy because you felt pressured? Who knows? But that week, we got to meet with her, and it turns out, after coming to a like small group or event that we did, that night she has a dream where Jesus comes to her in a dream and invites her to follow, and she says yes. And she said, "Oh yeah, like this is legit. I want to follow Jesus." This is a devout Buddhist lady who then the next week that we saw her, so we thought, wow, there seems like there's something real happening. I guess we'll see what happens. Next week, she goes to her temple. Is that a question? Yes. Say that again. So right now there's 5? Pamo PM Pida Nana. Yeah, aside from us. We're not counting us, but. So the next week we hear that this lady has gone to her temple that she goes to every week and told the monks, "See you guys, I'm not coming around here anymore, I'm following Jesus." Which again is crazy because most Thais, even Thais who have heard the gospel, if they come to know Jesus, they believe in him, but often are very slow to let go of some of their old religious symbols and icons, and they still go to the temple and they still try to make merit and they make sacrifices. But to see someone who has just said, "I'm in. I want this Jesus person in my life. This is a real thing, and I'm done with this other religion," was incredible. And since being there, we have realized that God is building a foundation. This small group we think is part of it. It is incredible to see what God is doing. And to be honest, he's been preparing a way for us long before we showed up. Before we moved to the island, we had been looking for a place to stay. And we would come to the island. It was about an hour away from where we were staying at the time. We'd come to the island and explore and look for a place to rent. Foreigners can't own land or buy houses in Thailand, so we're always going to be renting. And on the island, it just seemed like we were not finding very much. And I went to a market and started talking to this lady and said, "Hey, do you know of anyone?" Because this is how you find houses in Thailand. You can't just go online and say, like, "Rentals in my area." That doesn't work. It's got to be like you talk to the lady who has a cousin whose brother is friends with an auntie who's got kids that are renting a place. That's how you find places in Thailand. And so I'm at the market and I'm talking with someone saying, "Hey, do you know of anyone?" And she said, "Well, no, but you should talk to that guy over there." And so, you know, so I meet the guy who supposedly has places. And we ended up just hitting it off. He tries to help us find a place. He didn't end up finding us a place in the end. But every time that I would go to the island, I would hang out with him. And yeah, we really hit it off. We just started hanging out. And so when we moved to the island, we were excited to get to know this guy a little bit more. Turns out this guy is the mayor. He is the equivalent of the mayor in the area. He's super, super well known, has a ton of influence, and is connected with all of these higher ups in the country. And because of that, we started getting invited to these community meetings where we should not be. We are the newest kids on the block, you know, like we're the outsiders, we're foreigners, we've lived there for like approximately 2 seconds, and all of a sudden the mayor is saying, "I want you to be our honored guests at these community meetings. We're having a meeting about these different societal problems in our community. We have a problem with unemployment and a drug problem and deforestation and all of these issues that the community cares about, and we want you there. We want you to be a part of that." And that is insane. Like, God is doing something incredible in this island. He is preparing us to be in places of influence in ways that is quite honestly scary. We've had it several times recently where we show up to an event and everybody knows our names, and we've never met them. There are people that we have never met, we don't know, and they know who we are because Mayor Bro is telling them who we are. And he now calls us his little foreigner staff because we go with him to all of these events and all of these functions. And yeah, he has treated us like honored guests wherever we go. And it is incredible that God has prepared these relationships. And that is Yeah, our heart on the island, as he's been introducing us to the community and to these issues, our heart is to see the community met where it's at. There are real issues, not just, and when I say just, this is no small problem, not just the fact that no one knows Jesus, that no one has any hope, but there are practical life issues. There's poverty, there's unemployment, there's things that people care about, their families are broken, they're hopeless. There's problems that are heart-wrenching to hear about, and we want to be a part of that. We want to love our neighbors fully. And we have a dream. We have a dream for this island, and I believe that God has a dream for this island. This place has become near and dear to our hearts, and we love it. We are ready to say yes, and the long yes. We are here indefinitely, and we want to see this place transformed. We want to love our neighbors with every means available to us, and that means every means. I refuse to be the person that says, oh, the problem of your soul, yes, I have a solution for that, but don't talk to me about your poverty. Don't talk to me about your heartache. Don't talk to me about your addiction. I refuse to accept that is the love that Christ offers. He offers us something that is full and good and beautiful for our souls, for our minds, for our bodies. This is not to say that following Christ is always easy or that you'll be rewarded with material things when you follow him. But Jesus wants wholeness for us, and he wants wholeness for our neighbors in this community. And I believe that we have a part to play in that. This is one of those community meetings where we got to map out and talk about problems. This is the mayor's market, his market that he runs at one of his properties. And he actually gave us money to go shopping at his market so that we would practice English with all of his vendors. We have so much favor with this man, and we really feel like God has built this relationship for us. Again, these are our village leaders. This is during Songkran, the Thai New Year. This is the dream. We want to see this island change. We want to see Christ known, and we want to see every person know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we want to meet people in the hardships that they're in. And as I mentioned before, it's not that it's not enough. When I say it's not enough for us to present just the gospel, that sounds like I'm making little of the gospel. But actually, what I really believe is that the gospel is inclusive, is that it is more than just knowledge, and that we must, as effective witnesses to who Christ was, we must love people fully. And that means we provide them with the truth that their souls need, the hope that their souls need. Because as we mentioned before, this is a place without hope. And we believe that it is our mandate to bring that. And as we talk about that, this is the dream, this is the vision, this is the goal, and we want to invite you to be a part of that today. So we are 60% funded, as it says up there. And, you know, we are not interested in making a guilt trip or by asking anyone out of obligation to give, because that doesn't really serve anyone, to be honest. I guess the money is kind of helpful. I mean, it's helpful, but that's not what we want, because that actually is not good for anyone. It's not good for your heart. It's not good for our heart. What we want is to see Christ be made known on this island, and we need help doing that. And so while there is no guilt trip and there is no obligation, I also have no shame in asking you to be a part of what God is doing, because we believe in what we are doing, but more than that, we believe in what God is doing in us and through us, and sometimes even despite us. God is doing an incredible thing on this island. He is building a foundation for something epic. And by some miracle, we are the people who get to be there. It is an unspeakable honor for us to do what we do. We love it. We love Thailand. We love this people, and we are giving our lives to this place, and we are ready to answer the call. And if that is something that you want to be a part of, if it's truly something you want to be a part of, if you want to be a part of what God is doing in Thailand, we would love to be hands and feet on the ground, an extension of your ministry and your love for the world.
Lord, I come, I confess.
Thank you so much for listening today. We pray that you were challenged and encouraged from our message today. If you would like to speak to a member of our pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com, click on the Airdrie tab, and then on the About section, click on Our Staff, and we'd love to hear from you. Make sure to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, at CS Airdrie on Twitter, and at Cornerstone Airdrie on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to subscribe and get new content delivered right to your device through iTunes. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. I know that sounds like an odd request, but the more that people do that, the easier iTunes makes it for others to find us. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family we go.
Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Yes, where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Stand up for